deciding factor? The Glazers.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We are here, Sage, at Hooters, your third home.
I've had a full day today, Steve, full day.
On Hillsborough Avenue, busy guys we've been at One Buck Palace. The introduction of new offensive coordinator Josh Grizzard. Lee DeCamper is here of JoeBucksFan.com, Sage, and we are fired up to talk about all the we heard Grizzard talk for about an hour, which is kind of insane. We're all Grizzarded out, but Ira, not even a mile north of here, Sage, is Bill Curry Ford. They are the king of Tampa when it comes to car dealerships. Tampa's first family of Ford dealers is Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, he is the GM there, and he will give you the Ira Kaufman discount. But you got to get to their website because then you can see all the cool things they do. The mobile service, meaning you can get your vehicle fixed at your home, or they'll leave you a car, a loaner, and they'll take it back to the shop, do whatever you need, bring it back. Everything you can imagine they will do for you as far as service. And, of course, all the new vehicle offers are at BillCurryFord.com. Ford's got great offers. Family-owned Bill Curry Ford has offers. The Curry family, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there first, BillCurryFord.com. And later, Sage, we'll talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first call when you have any sort of storm damage, flood damage, fire, mold in your home or property. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Lee, Josh Grizzard, met the media. Ira,
I don't like him. He's making me feel old, Lee. He's 34. He looks like he's 27. That's number one. That's the first strike against him. Strike one, Grizzard. No, well spoken. He's been pining for a job like this for a while. They hired from within. I like that from a continuity standpoint. And Lee, you heard me ask the question, which I think is one of the critical ones. Baker Mayfield either led the way to bump this guy up, or he was in total agreement. Because without Mayfield's approval, this doesn't happen, Lee. So you've got your quarterback on board, and that gives this guy a leg up.
I'm torn by what you said, Ira, in this respect. Was it continuity? You really shouldn't want that. However...
Well, when you average 29.5 point game, this is why the continuity's not a bad idea.
It's actually a bad idea, but let me finish. Grizzard, how can I say this? He explained it the way I wanted to hear. He talked about continuity. You know, that's an empty word. Okay, it sounds great, but you don't want that. However, he said, but you don't want to be stagnant. Now
there you go.
There. That's what I was talking about. And he used the verb a couple times, build from. Okay, I like that. Another thing he said, and I thought it was very interesting. I'm not saying he had an epiphany and he came up with this himself, but I thought it was very, very interesting. He said when he studies tape of potential draft picks, he sees a play he likes, he jots it down and go back later and study it. Well, yeah, maybe we could use this. I like that too.
Now, he's very well versed in the college game, Lee. He knows what's going on.
His job he had to because he had to scout and everything. He's got to develop guys. Now, I'm not saying Liam Cohen did not do that, but I like hearing that. And, of course, as with every sport, the opening press conference doesn't mean jack. And I'd rather go up there like Campbell at Detroit and make an ass out of himself. And there's a couple other examples, but they're winners.
So it's like you getting a wink from Kay Adams at the NFL owners.
Doesn't mean nothing.
Doesn't mean a thing.
No. Greg Shannon killed it in his opening press conference. Killed it.
How'd that go?
Exactly.
So, Ira, look, I ask you for your impressions of the guy. You make a joke, and you pass it off to Lee. What were your impressions of him?
I will give you a specific
right
now.
Give me some specifics.
Now, look, he's not going to reinvent the wheel because, as I said, 29.5 points per game. I don't know how much he could bump that up. If he bumps it up to 32, it's a wonderful thing. However, Steve, and you boys were there when I was there. Lee, I might be stretching this, but I heard, maybe because I want to hear it, I think the 2025 Buck offense will take significantly more shots down the
significantly,
field.
Significantly, huh?
I think so. And I'm all for it.
Well, you know, three a game is significant. So, okay, I see what you're saying.
Who asked him about that, Ira?
I believe you did.
I did, Ira, because you know what? The guy came from Miami where they lit it up the last
now,
year he was
no
there.
There's no Tyreek Hill on
there's
this
no
roster.
Tyreek Hill. But the interesting thing about the Dolphins when he was there is that they ran the ball more than they threw. which is very similar to the Bucks offense. And yes, the numbers were equal, you know, as far as effectiveness, but he's a run heavy guy.
I wouldn't say the Bucks ran the ball more than they threw it last year. I wouldn't say that.
I'm talking about ranking in the league. I can double check it as far as where they ranked in total attempts.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Like, Canales was often talked about as a run-first guy, but I believe the Bucks were 20th.
Run last guy, too.
But they were 20th in attempts that year, I'm pretty sure.
For example, Lee, when Brady, especially the first 2 years, when the offense was humming, they threw on two-thirds of their downs.
Oh, nonstop.
Two-thirds. 67%.
And it worked.
And I'm thinking last year, it might have been 56-44, something like that, Steve, if I had to summon a guess. 56% pass, that's a big drop from 67%. Mm-hmm. This guy's done his homework, Lee. He's smooth at the podium. You know, he's running circles around Leftwich already at the podium.
Oh, man.
Now, what is that going to translate to points on the board? We don't know that.
Well, Steve and I had this conversation a few minutes ago back at One Buck. I didn't think he was very smooth. He was hyperventilating at first.
He was nervous.
He was nervous. But, you know, I've learned. I don't give a damn what he does to the opponent. I don't care if he picks his nose. I don't care if
he looked at his bits and he was bracing for some very tough questions right off the bat.
The press conference doesn't mean squat. What matters is what's he do at practice, what's he do in games. So the jury is out in that respect.
And that's fine. He's not there to win the press conference, like Lee said. But he loosened up. He's clearly very comfortable talking about the offense. Maybe not everything else, but he didn't get choked up like we've seen with other guys taking a job. And, you know, a lot of things. He was pretty chill, I guess you would say. One thing I thought was interesting is that he said, you know, wanted to do this his whole life. Now, he was a high school quarterback who went to Yale, played safety there.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, when he got hurt in high school, and I found out later it was he blew an ACL as a high school quarterback.
Ouch.
He's standing on the sideline realizing, I'd like to coach. I like this. And that sort of triggered him. But, you know, pretty much a meteoric rise for this guy, Ira.
And he was complimentary towards Liam Cohn, Steve, which I thought was very classy, especially considering the way Cohn departed.
And Cohn hired him.
Yeah. And they had a good working relationship. But, Steve, I haven't heard you weigh in on my point that I'm not sure this wasn't a Mayfield pick, Steve. Could this have been a Mayfield pick?
We talked about it in past podcasts. We believe it was. And, you know, Mayfield probably gave a list, I like these guys. Or Mayfield might have said, run it past me, you know. I don't know. But obviously he comes blessed by Mayfield. I think it's obvious.
He could have stopped this thing from happening.
Sure. He and Mayfield?
Mayfield could have easily stopped.
Probably. I just wish sometimes we had a camera here. Because your reaction, when Steve said, we talked about this last podcast, it was like someone said, I heard the bill is $500. Cough it up.
Well, the last podcast, we didn't have a new offensive coordinator.
No.
Yeah.
Now, he did say, one thing I thought he said was interesting and speaks to the dysfunction that he's been around, that he worked for 6 coordinators in Miami. Now, that's a lot of coordinators. I think.
Well, one of the guys he shouldn't have even mentioned, Adam Gase.
He did mention Adam Gase.
I know. Don't go there. Don't go there, Josh. Don't bring up the clown that thought that Fitzpatrick was a better quarterback than Tua. Not that Tua was so great, but good grief.
On the podium, he pretty much said that, hey, I've learned a lot about what not to do. You know, I've seen the bad and the good, and, you know, and coming here, obviously.
Like play a first-round pick at quarterback?
Yeah.
Did you think he was suggesting that more often than we saw in 2024, more often, we would see Irving and White both on the field at the same time? I thought I sensed that a little bit.
They are a lot.
And he also mentioned not just throwing those guys screens, the two backs, getting them involved more downfield in the passing game. Interesting. They have the hands to do it, Lee. They both have excellent hands.
Yeah. Well, I've always said, I think Rashard White's one of the best pass catchers there is. He just sucks at running the ball. At the press conference was Bucky Irving. He showed up to support for his new OC.
That's right.
Skip Pete was there, running backs coach. There may have been others. I didn't notice
that. Thad Lewis was there as well.
I also walked away, Steve, today from not only what the OC said, but just general talking to different people.
Oh, Mike Greenberg was there too.
I'm a little more confident that Godwin's going to be back with the Bucs next season. I'm a little more confident than I was a month ago.
They want him. Will they be able to get him?
I think they feel strongly that he's going to be able to come back from this injury.
I don't know if it was you. I don't know if it was Steve. I don't know. Someone asked him about Godwin.
I did.
His answer to me was very tepid. Very tepid.
Oh, tepid. Oh.
Yeah, I got the impression like he kind of soft-shooted.
Well, he said he doesn't get involved with the contracts. He did say that.
That was a nice dodge.
He also said that in terms of his character, and the kind of player he is, he had nothing but superlatives.
Here's what I wanted to hear him say when you asked him that Godwin question. And I'm sure Bucks fans would want to hear this very same answer. Something along the lines of, I want him bad.
If it was up to me, he's going to be a Buck.
Yeah, now, of course, Jason Light.
You don't want to step on Jason Light's toes.
You don't want to give his agent more ammunition.
That's right.
But I wanted to hear a little bit of passion, like, how good he is. He wants him back. He didn't go there. It was just the opposite.
I didn't see it that way, Lee.
He's a smart guy. He's a Yale dude. So I got the impression he really, like, almost recoiled from answering that question.
If I would bet, I think Godwin's going to be a Buck.
I feel you, Sage. Look, he did say, quote, we want to hang our hat on running the ball and being physical. Most coordinators say that, but not everyone, so it's worth noting.
He went into a little more detail than just saying it. So I think he's not Buffaloing people.
Between Todd Bowles and what they did last year and the way Mike McDaniel schemes the run, I believe him, but they all say that.
Yeah.
Cutter said it. You're right. Arian said it. But until last year, and I judge it by the running game in terms of physicality. Last year they backed it up, Lee. Last year they backed it up. Other years they didn't.
How many offensive coordinators, or head coaches for that matter, in their introductory press conference, we want to be weak asses with the run. You never hear that.
Yeah, so to explain to the fans, Sage, he did his, I don't know how long, 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes in the news conference. And then he did over half an hour.
37 minutes.
With reporters in the side media room asking all kinds of questions. Nobody said it was off the record, but there were no cameras allowed. And that
he
was
didn't
that.
Seem in a hurry to leave either, right, Steve?
No, and the Bucks didn't pull him away, so the questions really got wacky after a while.
But everybody was shaking his hand and introducing themselves.
No, I did, too.
I didn't introduce myself.
You're a man who needs no introduction.
Steve, did you shake his hand, and does he know who the hell you
I
are?
I talked to him later one-on-one after the group, so yes, but not in the scrum.
What is Steve supposed to do, shake something else?
Steve, I'd like to talk a little bit, unless you got some more Grisant questions.
Well, I do. Of course I do.
All right, I'll wait till you're done with that.
All right, look, so he said for 2 or 3 years, he's known that his next step is offensive coordinator. And he said for 2 or 3 years, he's been thinking about in-game, what would I call right here? What would I call right here? What would I do right here? Preparing himself mentally. What's my call? Now, I tried to pin him down. Okay. What's your call?
You said 50-50.
Did you agree with Liam Cohen? 50%, 4 out of 5. You know,
you're a numbers guy, Steve.
He wouldn't put a number on it. Smart guy. He wouldn't put a number on it. And he sort of talked about his process like, well, okay, he knew they had 6 options here, and he thought about the one he would pick, and Cohen took what he took, and sometimes they would talk about
he
it later.
He also said he knew the game plan, so that gave him a leg up.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's clearly at least been thinking about it. Now, he did at least acknowledge straight up, I've never called plays. I'm going to beg Todd Bowles to let me call plays in OTAs everywhere I can. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's a tall order, Lee. To be fair to Cohn, and I know how Buck fans feel about Cohn, and I understand it. It's going to be a tall order to be a better play caller in year one than Cohn was in year one.
And at least Cohn had practiced.
Cohn was an outstanding play caller.
Yeah, and he did it in college, too, so it wasn't like he was a novice.
Except when it was 2nd and 1 at the Washington 12 in the playoff game. And they screwed up the next 2 downs. That's tough to take.
Yeah.
That's tough to take.
Just a little perspective on Cohen. I think it was October. Bruce Arians was on with Barstool. And they asked him about Cohen. And he basically said, you know, in his Bruce Arians style and the Barstool style, he's like, oh, holy shit, this guy's averaging like 30 points a game. If he can do that all year, I've never seen a first-time play caller that can do anything like this. And so it did go all year. So that's some perspective.
But there was Bucky Irving in the back of the room. And I've been talking about Bucky Irving on every freaking podcast for the last 3 months. And
more
I'll continue to talk about it because he's a home run hitter, Lee.
You've been talking about him since October at least.
He's a junior Jamar Gibbs. That's what that guy is.
Yeah, interesting.
Maybe he's not as good as Gibbs. Not yet. But would you be shocked if he had 1,200 yards next year on the ground?
No. I kind of like this answer. You know, he was talking about improvement. And I'm like, well, Josh, I said, statistically speaking, there's not much room for improvement. You're one of the best offenses around. I said, how can you get better? What are you looking at to try to improve?
And he started at your favorite word, takeaways.
Well,
giveaways.
I didn't.
Didn't you love that, Lee?
No, because I not only that, I forgot about it.
He did say turnovers. Yes, he did.
Yeah, he said that. But what struck me was fundamentals.
Oh, fundamentals.
That's what struck me. I completely forgot about that. He did say that, yeah. And I can't stand that so much. It's like,
that was the direct answer to Lee was, cut turnovers. That's how we...
I looked at Lee, almost fell off his chair.
I remember that, but it's like in one ear, out the other.
Sure.
Like, knock it off. But fundamentals is what... You play fundamental football, offensively, lack of turnovers will happen. You play fundamental football on defense, takeaways will happen. Learn to play the game first. Then try to get the cherry on top of the ice.
You know one thing I wanted a more specific answer, Steve? And it was my question. Maybe I didn't phrase the question properly.
Yeah, it's your fault.
But, Steve, I asked him about situational football in the critical moments. Fourth down, fourth and two, what are we doing? Calling a timeout with a minute 38 left. You only got two timeouts left, and you're in a final drive, and you lose them by 3 points. And then going for two, things like that. I wanted him to say, I'm going to be very involved with that. I'm going to be right in Todd Bowles' ear, and we are going to be one of the top teams in the NFL in situational football. That's what I wanted to hear, Steve.
I don't think you touched upon Steve's question about he wants to call plays from the very first OTA. What do you think about that?
I got no problem with that.
I think that's smart.
Give him his practice.
Yeah, he's going to need it, yeah.
It's really a lot of the stuff that Canales did when he was here, but I'm glad he's on it.
Who's gonna fix this situational football problem? How are we going to fix this? Who's in Bowles' ear, and how much influence does that person have on Bowles' decision?
Oh, you mean timeouts and stuff like that?
We already know Jackie Davidson's in his ear. We don't know if he's listening or not. So that's one thing we're going to talk to Bowles about at the Combine is that. How are you practicing? How are you trying to get better? What are you doing?
In the end, it's his call.
Yeah.
Steve, it's his call.
I got to get this off my chest. Maybe because I'm kind of a contrarian kind of. Not like him. He's contrarian about everything.
Well, on the podcast, he's very contrarian.
But I'm a little bit of a contrarian. Like, anyway, the bitching du jour of the last 2 or 3 months, not just Bucks fans, NFL in general, timeouts. What are you calling this timeout? It's white noise to me now. I heard Chucky talking on a Barstool video maybe 2 weeks ago. And he said he learned this from Warren Sapp. Sapp asked Chucky for permission to call timeouts on defense late in the games. Well, on face value, that makes no sense. Why would you do that? And Sapp said, John, we're trying to get to the quarterback. After we rush the quarterback 5, 6, 7 times, we're out of it. We're drained. So instead of us having to tap out of the game, let me call a timeout so we can catch our breath and get fresh.
And Gruden's not aware of that necessarily.
He wasn't. He said he never heard that before. And Gruden's like, by all means do that. He goes, you want your best players on the field late in the game, and if that means you have to call a timeout for them to catch their breath, you do it. Now, on face value, that sounds idiotic. But once you learn about it, well, that makes sense. I think there's a lot of times we see timeouts, like, what the hell are you doing? But there's a story behind it. We just don't know about it.
You don't want gassed pass rushers offering no pressure on a quarterback.
Exactly.
Because
they
need a couple of minutes to get their energy back.
Exactly what Gruden said. Exactly what Gruden said.
I got one other thing to talk about regarding Grizzard today, Sage. It's very important. But we spent an hour with the guy, and we'll have more on the next podcast. There's a lot to sift through, a lot of stuff. Some of it more lighthearted, but I think this one's important. But more important, Sage, is to remind everybody first, Florida's elite restoration. You can't be unprepared when you have a disaster. You can't just be like, oh, no, do I call my insurance company and wait on hold and make some sort of recorded statement that's going to get me no money and screw me? No, you got to call an expert for a free evaluation. That's Florida's elite restoration. Mold, fire damage, water damage. You're the water damage whisperer. Whatever it is, a leak, you call them, storm damage. They'll come out, free evaluation. You mention the Sage, Ira Kaufman, when you call. They'll give you $500 off if you eventually need their services. They're the best fighters in the business.
And Steve, a critical edge over their competitors for Florida's elite restoration. Josh Martin has been on both sides of this thing, and he knows the insurance business like the back of his hand, and other places can't offer that kind of initiative. He will give you Sage advice.
Florida's elite restoration. com. We love Josh. Appreciate all his support. Just like we do Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Start there, shopping for a vehicle. Now, Sage, I asked Grizzard, what do you do? What'd you do on game days? What were you doing? And I was very pleased to hear that he was in Liam Cohen's ear. Not everybody has that access to Liam Cohen's ear, the way I understand it.
He was telling them what kind of defenses they were playing, where the blitz is coming from, Steve. Critical component of the Bucs' success.
That made me feel a little better about his hire. Lee, what did you think of that when he said he was in Cohen's ear and telling them about defenses, what's coming up, what we should look for.
I like that information. And I also like, and I didn't get a chance to comment earlier, to you, one of your questions that, you know, he would pick Cohen's brain. Why did you call this? Why did you call that? When he thought he would have done something different, he'd just take a note and get back to Cohen after the game. And I like that. So he was as involved as he could be. That wasn't his responsibility, but he was involved and in the know as he could be.
Do you care if he's in the booth or on the sideline, Steve? Is that going to make a big difference
just
to you?
Just win, man. I don't care.
Just win.
I don't care. I mean, he knows Mayfield well enough. It's not like he has to build a relationship. Like, Canales had to be there first year, but he's been there, so... and he should be tight with his fellow coaches to talk to. If he's got to call Thad Lewis and say, ask Baker this, whatever.
Should Thad Lewis take this personally that they stayed in-house but it wasn't Thad Lewis? Is that a step back for him?
He's awful. I don't know if it's a step back.
If Grizzard's young, this guy's even younger, right, Lee?
I know very little about Thad Lewis. You know, I try to pay attention to the guys who really mean something.
Well, he worked directly with Mayfield. Directly.
I know.
His day is coming.
Yeah, eventually.
His day is coming. The Bucks are high on him. You know.
I don't know. I mean, look, in every business, not everybody gets the promotion, so he didn't get it. And, you know, we gave Canales all sorts of accolades for building Geno Smith. You know, Lewis has been with him for 2 years. He did an interview elsewhere. So we'll see. You know, he's a young guy. These guys don't have to be in a hurry to get a job, for sure.
I would like to talk a little bit about, in the words of Lee DeKemper, edge rushers who might be available.
Well, let's spit it out. Miles Garrett's available.
He wants to be traded.
To trade, and you know the Browns are going to have to trade him because why would they hold him when he wants to leave? And here's the thing about Cleveland, right? When your team stinks, and we've been here before, when your team sucks, you bond heavily with the players because you have nothing else to latch on to. So you love the guy. You love the guy that's killing it for you because the team stinks. You can't just love the team. So Miles Garrett did a tremendous service to the Browns by saying, I'd like to leave. It's my time to leave.
And no matter how much Browns management says it's off the table, there's no way you're dealing them, I don't believe a word of it.
Bargaining maneuver?
I don't believe a word of it.
But that's the thing. Browns fans aren't like, no, we got to keep him. They're like, oh, Miles, we love him. He gave it his all. It's okay.
He's a great player on a bad team, Lee.
Yeah.
And when you have that, you got to, you know, restore this roster to playoff caliber.
Is that sort of what Chris Russo would say is like a great closer on a bad baseball team?
He does use that analogy. Now, Steve, I'm not ready to make a leap and say Miles Garrett's coming to the Bucks.
Why not?
Because all the national pundits who know far less about the Bucks than we do, they're ranking top contenders for Miles Garrett. The Bucks
nowhere
don't even make the list.
Yeah, nowhere.
I'm saying what hurts the Bucks for me is they got the 19th pick, and that's not the 5th pick. So if a team had the 5th pick, then I think that's a lot more attractive to the Browns.
You could always sweeten it, like throw in a Rashad White, a couple other draft picks.
I'll give it to Bucky Irving, so don't even go to Italy.
That's not the only star edge rusher that's went
right
out.
That's right.
There's a guy, another guy in Ohio. His name's Trey Hendrickson.
Now, the Bengals are better than the Browns.
Absolutely.
In terms of their arc.
Yes.
I'm not getting rid of Hendrickson if I'm on the Bengals.
I think he's got a year left on his contract.
He led the league in sacks, Lee.
Didn't he have 17?
I believe he led the league in sacks. Remember when he was on the Saints? We said, hey, that guy's a pretty good player. Saints should have never let him go, Lee.
No.
I'll take either of those two.
Back-to-back years of 17 and a half sacks. So I'm not discounting him versus Garrett. They've both played 8 years, and I don't know why the Bengals would get rid of him.
He's 1 year left, and he's acting like he's not going to re-sign.
I think Garrett's a little bit better player than Hendrickson.
Gerald McCoy had the greatest quote. He was on Jim Rome's show, and Rome was asking him about Garrett. And when Rome was finished with his question, Gerald McCoy looked straight into the camera, and he said, first things first, Jason White, whatever you have to do, go get him.
He
goes, I don't want to hear about first-round draft picks. First-round draft picks are 50-50. Well, this guy's 100%.
You're right. McCoy's come out strong on it.
Sage, I think you got to start here and reassess your thinking, okay? Because Garrett only wants to go to a contender. He did the rounds again at Media Row.
There's a lot of contenders.
Saying, I only want to go, including
the Bucks.
I only want to go to a contender. So when you're saying to me, top five draft pick, 10 draft pick, there are literally no contenders except for San Francisco, and they don't need an elite edge rusher. They have the 11th pick. That's where you start with contenders. So the Bucks are sitting at 19. They're not far off. from these other teams, and I think it's fair to assume the Browns don't want to trade into the AFC. So, you know what? The national pundits, all the same people who were saying Kirk Cousins is going to dominate the Kirk Cousins crowd, they're sitting there screaming, oh, Washington's going to trade for him. Washington, Detroit. Well, those teams picked 28 and 29. The Bucs picked 19.
I'll tell you a team that would give their eye teeth for Myles Garrett. They need him, I think, more than the Bucs do.
Atlanta. You can't let that happen. If you're Jason Light, you cannot let that happen.
Do they?
And I think Arthur Blank could say, let's get this done. He ain't getting any younger, Arthur Blank.
You know, the old George Steinbrenner rule. Jose Canseco comes springs to mind. George Steinbrenner didn't need Jose Canseco. And also what he didn't need was Canseco go to the Red Sox. George Steinbrenner would stockpile talent just so those guys wouldn't go to the Red Sox. That's what Light's – if he doesn't have enough reasons already – he cannot let this guy go to Atlanta.
Now, I'm not sure Garrett would look at the Falcons as a championship contender. I think Atlanta's got a long way to go. But getting Garrett would certainly boost that defense. Their defense stinks.
The Buccaneers, I'll go to Ira and then to Lee. Ira, I've listened to a million pundits on this. Everybody believes it's going to take two first-round draft picks.
I think it will.
And maybe a little more. Now, maybe whatever that is, a little more, who knows. But my question to you now is, do you give two first-round draft picks for Myles Garrett? And if you're going to give a little more, what would you give?
Lee, putting myself in the minds of ownership, which is what ultimately is going to matter here.
Yeah.
I think they would give Light the go-ahead to trade two number one draft
picks.
Really? I do. Why? Well,
they want to win?
Mayfield's in his prime. They got a hell of an offense. Who are they going to lose from this offense? Ben Bredesen? Maybe. They averaged 29.5 with Godwin missing the last 10 games. He didn't cripple this offense. Could be even better with Godwin back, and I think he will be. So what I'm saying is, Lee, we know where the deficiencies are, and it starts up front. You couple him with the two defensive tackles, and now Bowles, I think, totally changes his defensive game plan, his whole blitzing scheme, and we're not going to argue about consistent pass pressure anymore.
Thank you.
And the question is, can Light live with not having a pick in the top 50?
I think that's where he would go.
I think that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. There are repercussions, both good and bad, with getting Garrett or Trey Hendricks.
And he's not 34 years old either, Garrett.
No, 29.
Closer to 34 than a lot of guys. Here are the repercussions, good and bad. The bad's obvious. You don't have a pass rush. You got lousy pass defense. Okay, that's the bad. Here's the good of getting him. Just think how much better Villa and Kansas would be with that guy there. Because right now, teams are focused on the middle, the inside, the interior. And you take care of Kansas, you take care of Villa, you take care of the entire Bucs family. They can't do it anymore.
It's like adding Simeon Rice that year. Sapp was already there. He was already great. Rice put him over the top in terms of that pass rush. And I think Garrett's on, you know, I think he's comparable to Simeon Rice. I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I use a little different analogy and a little more modern. I know it's a different position, but in 2020, when Villa got healthy and came back for the NFC Championship game, the Packers were trying to cover everybody inside. Shaq Barrett went bananas. So if any team tried that with Garrett out there, forget about it. Garrett will kill a quarterback.
I think Bowles would be on board with this move. I don't know about Light.
You're good with the two first-round picks. What was the little bit more that you said?
Lee mentioned Rashad White. I could live with that.
Why would the Browns want Rashad White? Come on.
Better than a second string.
He's better than what they got.
They're not trying to win. They need a quarterback in the 26th draft.
Well, I'm not giving them Jalen McMillan. I'm not.
One of the tight ends?
I'm not giving them Winfield.
Wouldn't take him.
If they want Payne Durham, I roll out the red carpet.
All right, how about this? Would you give him one first-round pick? And Winfield?
No. You said no Winfield.
No. I want to see Winfield healthy. I think he's a hell of a player.
Lee, what would you give up?
Two first-round picks is a little steep.
It's steep.
But they need that guy bad.
Arguably the best defensive player in the league.
I'd be more willing than a second, and a third and give him a pick of one or 20 players. You decide who the 20 players are. I still think the Browns being the Browns, they might pick Rashad White. At least he's a weapon. But I'd stick with a one and two twos, or a 1-2 and a three, and a player. Player out of a group.
Would you
of
give
20.
Him a one and Luke Goedeke?
No, I wouldn't. You're trying to win now. Why are you going to give away your elite right
exactly.
tackle?
Yeah, exactly.
I would
of a
give
starter.
Him the two first-round picks. I would do it. Because you have to at least think somewhat positive. If you had Myles Garrett, you expect to be picking 25th in 2026. That's where you expect to pick.
Good point,
if
Steve.
Not 32nd.
So the first round pick isn't that valuable. There's another Logan Hall.
It's supposed to be fun, right? Sports is supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be about trying to win.
Now, have you spent how many millions of dollars for the damn team?
So, I mean, but even there, and Lee's right, but even there, the Glazers have already made 30 times what they invested on the team. They're doing fine.
How could Garrett look at the Bucks, Lee, and not say to himself, I think I could put this team over the top? How could he not think that?
Oh, yeah. Way? What Steve's talking about you hope it's a low pick. So basically what the Bucks would be doing, they'd be trading Logan Hall for Garrett.
And to Lee's point.
Who wouldn't do that?
First round picks, especially at 19, it's 50-50.
Depends on the general manager, but...
A la O.J. Howard, right, Lee? Who I think was 19th or 17th.
It's a fun discussion.
That's a great one.
It's a fun discussion. Part of me would almost rather see them maybe trade up in the draft, and there's some options there, but that stuff we'll talk about as the offseason marches on.
You like Garrett more than you like Hendrickson?
Well, of course, but...
That's yeah, A and you know, 1A and 1B.
Either way, you're good. But
he was the number one pick in his draft, right?
Yes.
Garrett, he was.
Yeah, they both
was,
played
yes,
8 years. And, you know, Thomas Dimitroff, former Falcons general manager, good friend of Jason Light. They worked together with the Patriots. I wrote this up at Dimitroff, but he got fired. He went to his best friends in the GM world, drove around the country in an RV.
That's right.
Did a podcast with all of them and then released them all. Fascinating stuff. You learn a ton about the game. I listen to all of them. And who was his first guest? Jason Light. And he's tight with Light. And he was on Radio Row this week saying, yeah, he thinks the Bucks are top two as far as teams that would fit.
Did he weigh in on giving up two number ones?
Trading two number ones is difficult, but he said it's much easier when you know that you have an established quarterback and won't need one for a few years. Because you want to hold those first-round picks if you need a quarterback. But he thinks the Bucks are in that stable quarterback realm of, hey, we don't need a quarterback, so your first-round picks are a little less valuable.
Knowing Light the way you do, Steve, would he be
okay? He's out of the country.
Would he be okay not having a...
voluntarily out of the country.
Not having a top 50 pick? Would he be okay with it?
I think it would, and you know, Lee can speak to this next, I think it would give him great pain to trade his draft picks. Because he's done so well with them. And when you're Jason Light, you start thinking, well, if I could trade these two first rounders for Myles Garrett, but I could also trade down and pick up all these other picks. And oh my gosh, look what we did in 2018.
He's wired more to do that.
Yeah. So, but you know what? Look at Dimitroff. He traded one of the biggest deals in NFL history.
Julio?
He traded up 20 something spots to get Julio Jones, gave away the farm. Nobody wonders who could the Falcons have drafted.
The guy's going to the Hall of Fame.
It got them to where they
got him a Super Bowl.
Got them to the step of the doorstep.
You know, Lee, I've been thinking about this. Lights could be ambivalent. Bowles could be full speed ahead. I want Myles Garrett. Deciding factor? The Glazers.
Of course,
always comes back to the Glazers.
Yeah.
And I think, knowing what we know about the dynamics of the organization, I think the Glazers would tell Light, you have our permission to do this.
Well, here's what it comes down to, I think, in that respect. The Glazers obviously know more than we do about their roster, about the inner workings of the team, et cetera, et cetera. You only make this trade if you think you can make a real Super Bowl run. Do they think they have the team in the next 2 years to make a Super Bowl run?
What about the money impact, Steve? What about the salary impact?
Well, let's not jump from Lee. I think they'd be insane to not think that they're in the ballpark of a Super Bowl run. Excellent offense, franchise quarterback. Some aging players who are still great.
Lost a tough playoff game.
Yeah, all you got to do is win three in a row to get to the Super Bowl, and maybe Myles Garrett helps you do that.
What about the money?
The money, Garrett is entering the fourth year of a five-year deal, so he's under market value right now. Jason Light would like that. He's got 2 years left, so they've got room to work there for sure. I wanted to ask you, though, about the politics at $1. So Jason Light, at the end of the day, he's still a guy with a job who knows, well, one day I could get fired. So... Does he have to think, not you, Ira, you're not in that boat. You have a lifetime job here at JoeBucksFan.com.
Thank you.
So, Sage, here's the question for you. Does Jason Light say, yeah, I want Garrett. This is our move. It's our time. But I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to wait for the Glazers to start buzzing, burning my phone up, and make them think that they're forcing me to do this. So if it backfires, then down the road, it looks better for me. Is there any of that that ever goes on?
Well,
or
that
all
could
in my
go
head?
On, but... The longer you wait, the more chance of another team swooping in. Lee.
True.
And there's going to be other suitors. A lot of suitors.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. But like Steve said, Some of them have picks worse than the Bucks at 19. Some of them. Some who Garrett would say, yeah, you're a contender. You know, you might look at the Raiders and say, they're not a contender.
And I don't know, and we should know, we'll know for next podcast. I believe the NFL has like a little moratorium on trades around the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So it doesn't blow a big distraction, and trades can't become official until a certain date. So I don't know. We'll find out what that is, but it's soon.
What if little Tom Brady is thinking, oh, wait a minute, I compare this guy with Max Crosby at defensive end, and we got something going over here. Now, of course, they need a quarterback, and so they're giving up their first picks. You know, how the hell are you going to get a quarterback?
Real good picks, too.
Yeah.
Because
they
stink.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take Max Crosby in a trade, too. How about that?
Let's wrap it up, Steve.
Lee, you got a final thought, or are you done?
Real quick here, Ira. There's a football Twitter account. I'm sure you follow them. I mean, sarcastic. ML Football. Two awards they gave out today. One of the awards, I want your feedback on both these. The first
All
one,
right.
The most underrated player in the NFL. Are you ready? According to ML Football, Baker Mayfield.
Whoa.
Underrated.
Wow.
Most underrated player in the NFL.
Well, judging by the fact that he didn't get into the Pro Bowl except for a guy
Alternate.
Dropping out.
Yeah.
Maybe they're right.
Here's the second award.
He's a top 10 quarterback now. Quarterback.
Here's the second award. And this will be of keen interest to Bucks fans.
Most underrated website?
No.
No Bucks fan?
No. The worst defensive player in the league.
Whoa.
Worst. Who do you think? Worst defensive player in the league.
It better not be a Buccaneer.
Yeah.
I don't like the way he just said yeah. All right, who is it, Lee?
Devin White.
You know, one day... Yeah, we're going to write the definitive Devin White story. We're going to figure out what the hell happened.
Sage, we're out. We'll see you next time.